Broad Street Bully Podcast, talking Flyers hockey.
Everybody, it's episode 119 of the Broad Street Bully Podcast. Thank you for joining us. This is Drew Paskey here, and we got Jeff DeAngelis, and that's it. Hi.
Yeah, at least two-thirds of the show showed up
tonight. Two-thirds of the show is here. It's just me and Jeff like the old days, back in the old school days of episode like 1 through what, 20, maybe?
I think Doyle was the guest on 13.
Almost 100 episodes ago.
Talked about last week.
So, yeah, welcome to the show. We're glad you're here. And you know what episode it is, Jeff?
Which one?
Just said it. Hey, 19. Add 100 to that. That's what it is. 119. Episode 1, Sean Couturier, plus 5.
Did we just indirectly hit the post?
Not really. We kind of did, but not really.
Oh, yeah. We're awesome.
I'll deal with it.
Look, you know? It's already better, and Doyle's not here.
I know. Just don't you feel good?
Yeah.
Let's read the Franklin.
I feel more loose. I don't feel bad eating candy now.
Well, you shouldn't feel loose. You always dance stiff to Steely Dan. That's what you're supposed to do. While we get copyright infringement.
Just a lot of shoulder movement, yeah.
A lot of shoulder and hip movement. Doyle's actually pretty good at the dance for this, but he's not here, so he can't really show you. That's what we do. We just like two drunk zilches on a Saturday in my house, just drinking. Well, Doyle's not usually not too drunk.
Looks like you're trying to hold. It's like trying to hold an invisible box, but then you're also snapping.
Episode 119. There it goes. All right. I had to get somebody to wait for it. I was waiting around. I live for it.
Who's your OCD?
We did it. Show over. We did it, guys. We're done.
I need to get it.
Oh, hi. We're a Flyers podcast. Right? Hey, guys.
a lot to talk
about.
Can
you tell there was only two games this week?
And one of them wasn't good.
But actually, it was good for us, though.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So, Jeff and I, we got to talk about, we'll probably spend at least 45 hours talking about our experience at the Boston Bruins.
Minimum.
Flyers. Yeah, you know, we have to fill time here. Hours, seconds, you know, we'll figure it out. The Flyers lost the Bruins 3-0. There you go. That was the whole game.
Ooh, that was a tough game. That was not a good...
The 5-2 win over Calgary.
Calgary.
Which was, you know, the first win in 10 games.
Woo!
We have a couple small roster moves between the AHL and NHL, the big club and the small club, as they say in the biz. And we have Doyle being sent down on waivers away from the show this week. But guys, don't worry. Please send your get well greetings to Doyle. His pancreas is failing, so please.
It is.
Speaking of pancreas is failing, you know, the Broad Street Boy podcast, for some reason, we've had shirt sales, you know, smattering here and there. But this week we did pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, our broadstreetboy.net/shop, we have our t-shirts and our koozies, and we sold like a good amount this week. Like at one point, it was always like here and there, but this is back-to-back sales. So I guess the Christmas season is upon us.
Probably all the 5-star reviews we're getting on iTunes
and
other
it.
Places you can download podcasts.
Hey, that's where you want to do.
Yeah, that makes it the most sense.
But did you know, speaking of Doyle's diabetes, if you put the coupon code diabetes at checkout, you get 20% off, Jeff. Did you know this?
Yeah, we took this from a Black Friday code to a holiday code.
It is. We actually went from beginning of the season code, I think.
Oh, right.
Or was it Black Friday? I don't even fucking know.
I think it was the start of November.
Just buy a shirt. People are happy and everything, so we're glad they're getting their Broad Street Bully podcast gear on. And it's only a $10 shirt, and you get like $2 off pretty much with the coupon code. So
yeah.
Look at it that way.
Basically, shipping's free.
You're basically going to get a free cup of Wawa coffee plus one of those like two 25-cent Reese's that they have at the checkout thing. Not that I know the exact prices of things.
But I like the cowtails.
The cowtails are pretty good,
cowtails
yeah.
Cowtails are pretty good.
If you don't like Wawa, then fuck you.
Right. Who doesn't like Wawa?
Communist, that's who. We don't like communists here on this podcast. We're American.
Sheets person, one of those weirdos.
I like Sheets when I'm really drunk at my cousin's college, like I talked about, 50 episodes ago?
And you just you dropped like close to $30 there.
Because I was like, dude, I'm never coming back here again.
I'm never going back.
But then
didn't you go back?
Like 2 months later. I was more reserved. I dropped only 15 the next time.
Oh, that's reasonable.
Hey, 15. So the Flyers, 9-11-7. Uh-oh.
9-11.
So we have 9-11.
Patrick.
9-11, and we have...
Konechny.
No, just...
Provorov.
Just Provorov and Konechny.
9-11, 19.
No. It's episode 119.
91. It's a year. It's a great year.
No, and we also have 7 with 7 overtime or shootout losses. So it's a lucky number with 9-11, so I don't know. Can Jet Fuel melt this record?
At least they got 7 loser points.
They did. And also, for those of you guys listening,
that was a very Hackstall quote.
You're probably thinking 9/11 and 7. That's not right. The Flyers played the Oilers last night. Well, you're right. They did, but that game doesn't start till fucking 9:30.
And we get tired early.
I watched the game, but the problem is I'm not doing an hour podcast after the game. I'm also not doing a half-hour post-game podcast after the game because that won't be till shit. By the time I edit it and everything, no, it's not going to happen.
Because
it takes a little while. You guys understand this. Just some work does go into this. It's not just greatness coming out of our mouths.
Yeah, we don't just sit down and then produce the magic you hear.
Well, we do, but not like, you know, just there is a little bit of work involved, you know?
Oh, right. It's putting the front stinger and the back stinger in.
Yes.
Yeah.
The front, the back, Netflix and my crack or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to do. So I guess we can talk about first. I mean, why not? This 3-0 loss to the Bruins, everything you wanted in a game.
It was another game where the Flyers kind of just coasted. Didn't look too great. Didn't look too impressive at all. We got to see them live and in person.
Well, that's why it was a great game, because not only did we get to see them live and in person, we got free tickets to that live and in-person game.
Club box with the loaded option.
Yeah, how many dollars were on there?
There were $30 on each ticket.
And we spent on food and booze.
It's the first and only time I'll ever get Maker's Mark at a Flyers game.
Oh, yeah, we were pretty classy. I remember I definitely snagged a sip from you because I was starting to get the shakes and the beer wasn't cutting it yet.
Need to establish a baseline.
Yeah, we had to.
But, yeah, no, it's definitely the only time I'll ever order Maker's Mark at a Flyers game.
Can I just tell you how great the day was? Because when you, that morning, I had to wake up early for this work, and the guy at my work was like, listen, oh, man, you're going to the Flyers game. Well, listen, I'm having my 40th birthday party. Come over, a bunch of food and beer. And I'm like, dude, yes, I'm already going to a Flyers game with free food and beer. And I'm going to a house party with free food and beer. And the house was in my neighborhood. So it's an easy drive home, baby. No worry about an Uber.
By the way, those roast pork sandwiches, the Flyers game, my own.
No, they weren't that bad. I mean, they were
pretty decent for stadium food.
Yeah, it was like $12, but it was on the house for us. They had long hots and provolone. So I highly recommend if you're ever in Club Box, you know, not with the peasants upstairs.
Well, yeah, naturally. Want to sit with those people.
So, yes, we're very excited, I think, not because of the Flyers Flames win, but mostly because of the fact that we got all this free stuff on Saturday.
Yeah, the game itself was pretty lame.
It did. We didn't even watch the third period.
Wayne Simmonds fought that guy. That was probably the highlight from the Flyers side. Because otherwise, they just really didn't do anything or bother to show up.
They didn't bother to show up. I just think they got outplayed, and then eventually they kind of sulked a little bit and didn't go their way. They had a little bit of a spark, though, with the Simmonds fight. And then also the goal that Simmonds got called for goalie interference. So Giroux's goal was disallowed.
Right, and I think like the third period, I mean, we don't really have much to say about the third period because we didn't really watch it.
Yeah, quote unquote, watch the game. We did not do that.
Yeah.
That wasn't really right. But I will say, though, I like to go into the bar, a little personal bar in the personal bathroom.
Well, that's
highly
always great.
Underrated. I mean, obviously paying for those seats, I would probably never do.
Well, the secret is, so unrelated to Flyers games, but if you ever go to a wrestling event, you want to get club box seats. Because you're going to be drinking excessively, and you need somewhere to pee that you can
without
get back
missing
to the action real quick. Yeah,
especially for Flyers games, though.
I did it for Money in the Bank 1 year. Me and Dr. Mike went, and we got totally shit-faced, and it was awesome.
You guys were in a club box? How much did this cost you a lot of money?
No, they were like $30 on StubHub. Wrestling events aren't a lot of money.
Okay.
Yeah, because nobody wants to go to them.
Wayne Simmonds fought Kevin Miller. K-E-V-A-N. What an asshole.
Yeah, right. Sir Kevin.
Yeah. And then the Provorov illegal checked to Marchand in the head.
Oh, right.
That happened. I guess we're talking about that. Like, what was the deal with that? I mean, we were at the game. Tell me if we're wrong. But as far as I could tell, it was kind of an overblown call.
I don't remember anything too drastic.
I mean, we're also at the game. You see game speed. And you watch it on like a couple times on the overhead and everyone boos. So, of course, you just automatically think it's bullshit. But I heard from people that watched it at home that it wasn't as bad as they made it out to be.
When you said that, I don't even remember it. Which leads me to believe that it wasn't that serious.
Or maybe it was because you don't remember it. You're like, it probably was a head check, right?
Maybe. I don't know. We did drink 3 beers apiece.
that was the good part. Like, I mean, like I were talking more about the beer drinking, but that's just what it was. I mean, they lost 3-0, guys. What do you want? We got an hour to fill here.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of good happening.
Getting the beers beforehand really did help make the day a lot better.
It did.
I was pretty happy with the fact that we got, like, I got to call beers in the Jetro parking lot. Cheap parking, and then we can just go about our day and go in the game and get the free beers. And
we got a hat. We got a free hat.
I got a free snow hat.
Hat was pretty awesome.
Minus the dumb little design on the back with the advertisement.
Yeah, it smelled a little weird, too.
Well, it's a fresh hat off right, the presses, yeah. Probably, right? Wouldn't you think so?
Anyway, Constellation Energy, right?
Yeah, something like that. So yeah, thank cool you guys hat. For the hat. You yeah, know, you're a great energy company. No, they didn't pay us for this advertisement,
only
but they
getting,
should.
Only getting 10,000, though, for an NHL game, that's kind of like Bush League. Would you advertise for the Phantoms?
10,000? That stadium fits, what, 17,000 something?
Yeah.
So it's a little over half.
Well, yeah, but if you're going to give out something, you got to give it out to everyone.
Do you really think so, though?
Yeah, totally. Don't chintz. Don't you need to impress okay. people.
Rules of business with Jeff. Don't chintz, even if it makes you go in the red.
You're fine. Renewable energy's hot right now.
Yeah, for who?
Everybody's all like, solar power, use the sun. What about wind? Coal's dirty.
Speaking of stupid points you made, you said the Flyers and Montreal, they actually outshot the Bruins 28-7. Here's the key stat, though. 0-for-6 on the power play.
Yeah.
And they also face-off percentage, 54%.
Which is strange, because their face-off percentage is usually much better.
Yeah, and the Flyers' giveaways were even. I just think the Bruins got much better of the play. And, shit, I mean, some of those goals didn't really have to go through, in my opinion. Elliott didn't look too horrible, but I just think the Flyers had breakdowns where like they just kind of didn't have to be goals. They just kind of had breakdowns, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and Elliott, especially in the Calgary game, his rebound control was not great, which actually led to one of Calgary's goals was a shot he should have corralled in. But, you know, like, can only do so much. The guy has basically been the only reason the Flyers are in as many games as they are.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it's been a common theme the past few weeks. Elliott has been the guy.
Yeah.
And the goaltending's not the problem for once, even with a not quote-unquote stud goaltender in there.
Is Brian Elliott really a stud goaltender?
I'm saying not a stud goaltender.
Oh, right.
He's not the problem. Even with like having like a average or Elliott, I think Elliott's above average goaltender.
He's no Alex Lyon.
No, he's not. Well, now, yeah. Wait, no. Alex Lyons doesn't really prove anything at NHL level yet. I disagree with you for no reason. Shut up. Stop being so agreeable tonight. Where's Doyle to drive a divide between us?
I think we can both agree, though, that the funnest part, the most fun part of the Bruins game was hanging out with the Brickers.
Yeah, so Jess and Brian Bricker, longtime fans of the show, said show we're on.
Got
that is
to
episode
hang out with
one.
Their idols.
Yes. And then they met us. I don't know who the hell got with beforehand, but then they met us. So that was pretty cool. So we've met a couple people that listen to us over the years, and I'm always surprised at the diverse nature of the crews we get to like.
Yeah.
Wait, like you spend your at least an hour a week or an hour like every once in a while listening to us.
You spend free time doing literally anything else what you could be doing anything else, and you choose to listen to us.
The likes of the ilk of us, men of our ilk. I actually wanted to put ilk twice in a sentence. Now it's three times.
Of course.
So that was pretty cool. So they happened to tweet at us during the game that they were also at the game.
Yeah.
Apparently, Brian's season tickets. So we went up to the poor people section, as we call it.
We slummed it.
Someone call it mezzanine. I call it for what it is.
Yeah, we slummed it.
You know, we went up there. Yeah. I mean, I thought someone's. I hid my purse. Thought they were going to steal it.
I was worried about getting hepatitis the whole time.
There was a couple of heroin needles up there. I mean, it's just it's a rough place up there, people.
No, it's gross.
Stay down low where Jeff and I don't belong, but we feel like we belong.
It's all about appearances.
Oh my God, sitting in a club box. I've never been in a quieter section.
Yeah, it was very well because it's like people are there because they're like guests of somebody or because they have a lot of money, and both of those
or because they're dicks
or because they're dicks, and both of those things
huge dicks
don't bode well to being
big like, veiny fuckers,
big triumphant motherfuckers,
yeah,
big wizard robe wearing. No, but you can't yell things when you're with people who are there as guests or you're
well, no, not can't because we still did.
Well, yeah.
But you shouldn't.
People did not appreciate us.
Wherever we go, they don't like us. Which always makes me wonder, like, why do people listen to us every week? But hey,
Yeah, we were getting a lot of looks. So, I don't know if
we got a few laughs, I think, or a couple like thumbs ups, I think. I kind
of
like two.
A lot of people thought, I'm going to guess that a lot of people thought we were serious about the stuff.
But here's the thing, though. Our numbers are a little deflated because we only sat there for two periods. So
that's
really
true.
I mean, the third period, we're more of a third period kind of team.
Yeah, the third period was also.
We really grow on people by that. That's when our game plans start to take hold. We start to wear people's down, their resolve. And really, that's when you have the hard-hitting motherfuckers come out.
Oh.
And we could have done it.
The Trey Giroux joke was funny for the fourth time. I'm going to laugh.
No. I'm not, I only said that once. It wasn't about Giroux. It was about, who was it? Was it Ghost? I don't know. I think the Tradem thing can be kind of overblown, but it's all about the timing. No, Provorov. It was Provorov, right?
Because we feel like we did it for a lot of people.
I don't know.
We're proud of Simmons only for a short amount of time.
Well, the guy behind us was saying, talking to us about they were going to trade Simmons.
Yeah.
He was talking about the contract thing. So it has been catching on more and more.
He probably listened.
We've talked about it.
He was too nervous.
Or everyone else has picked up the story the last, like, 3 months that we've kind of – we've brought up trading Simmons, like, every season, I think.
Yeah, well,
even
though
I love
the guy. It's going to stick eventually.
It might. I talked about trading Carter on our old blog for about 2.5 seasons before he got traded.
Yeah.
So
– now he has herpes, allegedly.
Yeah, well, it's always allegedly. You can never really go all full with it.
Unless you see it.
So, to the Brickers, thank you for hanging out with us. And
Oh, yeah, thanks.
It was one of those weird things where you meet people and you're not sure if they want to hang out with you or not. So you're kind of like looking for a way to get out.
Right. You give them the out just in case.
But they keep just talking and hanging out. And I'm like, okay, I guess we're hanging out here. And personally, for me, it's like if we didn't – here's what would have happened. If we wound up walking away – I didn't realize this. The premium seats down there, they serve booze until the end of the game.
Yes.
So it's not like they close the concessions, they close off. So we were already up top. You couldn't buy any more beer. However, we could have went downstairs and housed another one or two.
Yeah, we could have kept partying in the club box.
So we didn't, which, you know, much to my chagrin. But
which
it's
is
a fine,
probably
though.
The responsible move because I had to drive.
But I didn't, though, so I'm a little salty about it, even though hanging out with them, too, was nice. But to those two, thank you for hanging out with us. It's cool. I'm sorry I didn't have a koozie to give you, but, I mean, shit. You can buy one online.
Not expecting it.
Yeah, it wasn't. And it was good. So if you're at a Flyers game and see us tweeting and you aren't a creep and you don't have bad breath, give us an old tweet ring there and we'll see if we can meet up with you. If we ignore you, it probably means it's you, not us. Just make sure you understand that.
You creep.
Or Doyle is having a diabetic seizure. Doyle, rest in peace. Oh, but one last thing about that game, though. It was always great, though. I liked how the staff was talking about how the Jay-Z concert the night before. And I kept just going, give me some Ciroc, motherfucker. And they were like, sir, we don't have any Ciroc. And she was like, listen, don't even start. Last night, some people asked for Ciroc, and we didn't have it anymore. They didn't have it. I'm like, well... What concert reaction? Like it was Jay-Z. I'm like, oh, well, of course, that's Kanye's, right? It's Kanye's vodka,
I think,
right?
Ciroc is Jay-Z's vodka.
No, I think it's Kanye's, isn't it?
I don't know. I think it's Jay-Z's. You need to get up to date on your vodka sponsorship.
This is why no one listens to us. It's white guys in their 20s arguing over is it Jay-Z or Kanye's vodka.
I believe that Jay-Z is partial owner of Ciroc, and every time he buys a bottle, the store pays him. That's an old Aziz Ansari joke.
Wow.
What?
We are some white motherfuckers. We went over this on Saturday, but I was drunk. Neither of them own it.
Oh.
P. Diddy owns it.
Ah, P. Diddy.
Wow.
Jay-Z owns something, though, right?
It's like
Sammy Hagar and that tequila company.
That was possibly, that was the whitest not knowing of a fact of all time. That was absolutely awful. Like,
shit.
I'd like to think my black friends get like Led Zeppelin and AC/DC mixed up, but they don't. We just got, like, I can't even defend that. I also know for the last 15 seconds, people were yelling at their fucking phones or headphones going, P. Diddy owns it, you fucker. P. Like, they all just knew. But anyway, it was fun messing around with the waitstaff. And Sal, he was a friend of ours.
Sal was awesome.
Sal was just like, he looks at me. I'm like, oh, dude, you gave me a session IPA? He's like, yeah, but it's more beer in there. So it's pretty much you're getting more drunk. And I was like, Sal, he's a friend of ours. So it's
he knows what's up.
Doyle and I always do that. But, you know, Doyle wasn't there. He's also not here. So I can't even really share this. Enjoyment with him.
He's the worst.
He really is. But anyway, so going to the Calgary game now. Let's switch gears.
Okay.
So 3-0 loss to the Bruins. At
second
that point,
game in a row where it looked pretty bad.
To be fair, that was the first Flyers game I went to that I didn't leave early. That I watched the least amount of the game. If that makes sense.
Right.
And yeah. I might have been counting the first two periods. We watched almost every play. I stepped out during a commercial break real quick to take a piss, but I was back almost
private
in time.
Private bathroom.
Because the private bathroom, right? Normally I'd wait. So the problem was, it wasn't that I was giving up in the first two periods, just the fact that I gave up by the third period. We have to disallow a goal. Just the body language of the team was not good.
Yeah, and it was bad because that was the game. So coming into that game was the 3 days off and then the closed-door meeting. So you're figuring they shut out all the press. They yelled at each other. They had 3 days off to think about how shitty they played.
Hextall pulled his dick and said, do you want to fucking get this in your face?
Yeah, he rubbed it all over their faces.
Allegedly. We don't want to step on the time, people of the year articles.
Rubbed it all over his face. So they had that. They were motivated. They should have been motivated to come out and not play like shit. And they kind of just came out and were like, eh.
I don't want to argue that they didn't play like... They played good, but I don't think they played like absolute shit at first.
Then there were a couple poorly timed turnovers, and then the disallowed goal.
And the 0-for-6 in the power play is absolute killer at home too.
Yeah, it was really
home.
It was just like a comedy of errors. And then by the disallowed goal, they were kind of just like, yeah, we're kind of over it.
Well, we were pissed when that happened.
Well, yeah,
Looking back on it, I could see why they called it a little bit.
When you watch the replay,
it was soft.
Well, if you watch the replay, it's the elbow, not the body. Like the elbow and forearm are what hit him.
I didn't see the forearm at first or the elbow, so yeah. I was livid.
It looked like
I
nonsense.
Stood up and looked around. And I said, "Are you fucking kidding me?" And I felt like I was kicked out for saying the F word really loud.
Yeah, it's not
a game.
It wasn't the body; it was just the arm, basically. But then again, like, what is like that's goaltender interference? But what is goaltender interference? And the NHL still doesn't really know.
Well, the world will never know.
No,
it's like Tootsie Roll
like
pops.
How many licks? Yep.
Anyway, so Calgary Flames game. We won a game,
right?
Hello.
Which is surprising because like they had two games in a row where they were kind of lifeless, and then they go into Calgary, the old Saddle Dome, Canada.
The Saddle Dome, as they call it.
And I mean, it didn't look like they were going to turn it around, but it was statistically impossible for them to lose every game for the rest of the season.
That's what you think, Bucko. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't think that either. I didn't give up on the team for 1 second. I just was like, oh, it's just in a rough patch. There's no way. We talked about it last week. There's no way they had to go like they were going to knock it out of this. And I'm not saying they're out of the woods yet. They still have the. I mean, for all I know, they could have blown out the Oilers tonight. I don't know what's going to happen tonight.
Yeah. So the game itself, the Calgary game was they finally scored, but they kind of reverted back to some of their old ways in the third period. They kind of turtled.
A little bit, but not as much. They also, I think, they were pressuring a little bit. The forecheck was still there.
Right, but what got them in trouble was, like, Nolan Patrick had a bad turnover at the blue line that led to a Calgary goal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, players could have done better than they did. And, like, Calgary's good. Like, Sean Monahan's good. He had a hat trick against the Flyers when they played last time.
Yes,
so
he's
like,
on my fantasy team. I know that. I benched him the one time when he played the Flyers.
Like,
not this time.
Giving up a turnover at the blue line in the offensive zone by Patrick for Monahan to take it down the other way and eventually score. It's not a good idea. And like everybody, this game especially, like because they finally won, there was the Flyers Twitter had to pick something to complain about since they couldn't complain about losing.
What was it this time?
So Travis Konecny only played like one shift in the third period. Nolan Patrick and Sanheim barely had any time in the third period too. I get the Patrick move. Had a shitty turnover, led to a Flames goal. Hackstall is basically saying, like, you make bad plays, you don't get ice time.
Yes,
right.
It's a way to motivate your team.
Konecny
or players on your team.
Konecny, he skates well. His puck handling's like okay, and he can't hit the net. Like he doesn't. He's getting more shots on goal, but he still misses the net too much. But would I rather see Konecny on the ice over Dale Weiss or Yuri Laterra? You bet your balls.
I bet my whole balls?
Whole balls, both.
All of them? Well, here's the thing with that. Before we get to the ice time thing, is it also possible that he realizes that to close out a game, he needs to play his veterans? His rookies,
the
young guys aren't always the best to close out a game, they need it to win a game.
But Dale Weiss, the argument people were making.
Dale Weiss still had the least amount of ice time on the team. I don't know what else they wanted to do.
Well, that's because he got elbowed in the head.
But still.
But yeah, guys like Laterra and like playing Manning. People were angry that they were playing Manning over Sanheim.
Konecny had 756 in ice time. Patrick had 822. Weiss 646. Then the next closest player is probably Lear with 1226. Not counting Sanheim, who had 924.
So,
but you know, Sanheim, you know.
The problem with everybody's thing is that like they're yelling about that Hackstall doesn't play the younger guys and doesn't trust them and how are they ever going to learn, but Taylor Lear got a ton of ice time in situations where you wouldn't expect a guy who's playing his first year of national hockey to get ice time.
Well, Lawton had 1326, which was like, you know, the best of the young guys on the team. Wheel had 1509, that was probably, but he was also moving around the lineup. He also had the most power play time out of all those players.
Yeah, plus when Weiss went out, they had to jumble up a bunch of shit.
Yeah, well, we didn't mention this, too. The line changing up messed up, too.
Oh, yeah,
So Voracek and Simmons switched.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Also, we had, so the first line was Kutz with centering Giroux and Simmons. Second line, we have Valtteri Filppula centering Raffel and Voracek. And then third line with Patrick centering Wheel and Konecny. So with Patrick and Konecny getting a little backed off a bit, you have Wheel. And then Scott Lawton, Lear, and Dale Weiss in the fourth line. So Wheel was probably double shifting a lot on the third and fourth line. Also, Wheel got, like I said, a lot of power play time. And that's going to happen in some games, people. I mean, I don't know what to say. And it was Alt and Sanheim as your third pair. So that's going to limit you, don't you think?
Well, Sanheim also.
I'm sorry, not Alt. I'm sorry. Alt's going to be playing probably the upcoming games if they call him up. But he got hurt again, didn't he?
I think he's going to be on reserve.
He's going to be reserved
because they just called up TJ
Brennan, the offensive dynamo.
I think everybody's just angry.
I was jumping ahead like an idiot.
Everybody's just angry that the players they want aren't getting ice time. And like now it's reaching that critical mass where everybody's turning on Hextall too. Because they're like, why isn't he just forcing Hextall to play these people? Or then, like, why isn't he just calling up everybody and sending down all the people that stink?
I mean, do you ever let somebody take the reins as the boss of a company after only being there for a year?
Well, here's the
thing. Don't they have to work their way up?
We talked about it last week where Hextall had the... Or no, did we talk about it last week after the closed door meeting when Hextall gave all the canned answers? Yeah, we did. And he gave all the... Basically towing the company line. Oh, he's great. I think all the players are fine. We're better than the 10-loss team. Like, basically the most milquetoast answers ever because that's all he can do as a GM. Like, he can't shit on everybody.
You can't shit on him right now unless you're planning on, like, at the end of the season, you're planning on cutting.
Right,
and
you're going to get rid of them. But, like, so the same thing applies here. Like, you can't just – everybody is just wants him to go, oh, my God, Jory Laterra, go to the Phantoms. Dale Weiss, go to the Phantom. But, like, you're not going to entice people to sign here if they have this specter hanging over them that if the first thing that goes wrong, they're going to get sent to the Phantoms.
Laterra didn't even play in that game either. I don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
I don't, whatever. But
I mean, people are bitching
over
about
the whole 10-game losing streak. They've been complaining about just who Hextall decides to play and why Hextall allows Hextall to decide who to play.
Great tweet by Bill Meltzer saying when a lot of top guys in your lineup are turning over pucks and not playing their best besides the scoring, the foot soldiers that work in the bottom like line or two aren't really going to affect the outcome of the game that much.
And like I have some qualms with how Hextall handles ice time. And like I think Travis Konecny could play more. And I think Travis Konecny could play on the power play. But he's not getting the time right now. But to say that like, well, why don't you just send down everybody you don't like this is not NHL 18. It's not something you can do in real life.
And also, isn't Konecny maybe not getting power play time for something we don't really notice because we don't watch game film of practice and game film every day?
Well, from what I noticed, he doesn't really puck handle that well anymore, and I don't know if it's because he's hurt or whatever, but he also doesn't hit the net.
Konecny's a very...
That's like a huge thing.
Konecny's very good at forechecking, and he uses his speed.
He's getting better at hitting the net.
He's a good counterattacker. He may never be a first-line player.
Yeah.
And that's okay. He doesn't have to be a power play force because he's good. I mean, just being a good player does not make you a power play specialist or a power play player. It can. It doesn't have to be.
Everybody was like, well, we'll let play Sanheim. We'll deal with his mistakes. But it's like when you're trying to win a game, Sanheim makes rookie mistakes. And while Brandon Manning stinks, he doesn't make as many rookie mistakes because he's not a rookie.
And Manning also has playoff and experience playing in big games to close out.
Don't get me wrong. Brandon Manning's not good, but in the situation they were in, where they had lost 10 games in a row and they were trying to hold on to a 3-goal lead, I understand why he put Manning in over Sanheim.
To be fair, Manning's okay.
Yeah, he's not great, but...
I know we've punched him out, but I mean, I said 2 or 3 weeks ago he had a stretch of really great hockey for about a week.
I think Sanheim's good. Sanheim will get better. Sanheim is not confident in his decision-making yet. And maybe Brandon Manning's just confident because he's stupid, but whatever.
Man dog takes shots from the point all day, and it leads the Flyers' goals or chances.
But yeah.
He gets them through the net, too. Manning gets them through to the net. He does. He at least gets them on net.
So yeah, I get why, like...
Yeah, goes shooting people's shin pads.
Plus, like, I don't know, I just don't... Everybody just... I'm sick of Flyers Twitter, and it annoys the shit out of me. Just shut the fuck up. Like, you've broken me. In the beginning of the season...
Notice the hot takes from Jeff tonight. I guess Doyle's not here. Doyle's not here to amp you up.
In the beginning of the season...
Oh, you know, because Doyle will protect you when I fucking destroy you if you start talking hot takes again?
I was all about hot takes. I was so pro-hot take. I loved it. And I enjoyed them. Drew, you got so mad. Like, it was great. And then there reached a tipping point where, like, they're just yelling about things to yell about them. And, like, now they want to fire Hextall and Hextall. Like, they want to get rid of all these people. They're talking about trades. They
talked about your favorite Flyer of all time who's now the GM. Is that why you got upset?
I just... No.
That's why.
What do you want him?
You took the red pill, my friend. The blue pill, you got it swallowed and went back to ignorance is bliss and enjoyed the rest of Flyers Twitter and the hot takes and annoyed me and just went through the matrix. But you took the red pill, and now you see the hard truth of these fucking assholes on the internet behind their keyboards.
Even if Hextall wants to fire Hextall, he can't publicly say it. Because then the next coach he wants to hire will be like, oh, if you're just going to shit on me to the media, why would I sign
him? Yeah, if you throw me under the bus, what am I, the guy that blew up in that Speed movie? Fuck that.
Exactly.
I'm not going under the bus.
That guy. And then
keep it above 55, you wildcat.
And then, like, if he just comes out and says, like, you know what? Brandon Manning is not that good. I'm going to send him down to the Phantoms forever. Players, when Hextall goes, hey, do you want to sign a four-year free agent contract? They're going to go, no. If you're just going to shit on me to the media and send me to the Phantoms, why would I play here?
Because we have a history of winning in the 70s.
It's just
like twice. And
just
eight,
infuriating.
And almost winning a lot in the 80s. And
everybody can totally armchair quarterback. It's like, so we got to see the seedy underbelly of Eagles Twitter this week.
Oh.
Because their season's over and they need to pack it all up and go home.
See, it doesn't bother me as much because, I mean, I love both these teams like the most out of all my Philly sports teams. I'll support the Phillies. I'll support the Sixers. Yeah, good. I'll watch some games every once in a while. I'll even support the Union, and I will support the Philadelphia Kicks. Rest in peace. But the problem is with Eagles Twitter, like when you listen to like the sports radio, it's always Eagles, and you hear hot takes with Eagles all the time. I'm not so accustomed in my whole life to the Flyers hot takes, I guess, because they're not so much surrounded by them. And also, because football is way more a popular sport, you have a lot of idiots that don't even watch the sport giving hot takes, so it kind of muddles down like, okay.
Well, but you have...
There are people that actually watch Flyers hockey every game and follow the team religiously that still spout the shit. Same thing with the Eagles, but the problem is, you get what I'm saying? There's not a watered-down version of it.
There's
you can't really tell. Flyers, you really expect... If you care enough about the Flyers give hot takes, you probably watch most of the games. I'm not saying you know a lot about hockey, but at least you understand what's going on.
There's a tale of two teams right now. You have 10 losses in a row, Flyers, who are last in the division or close
to
last.
Not now. They have a one win in a row, and maybe even two, maybe even an overtime loss, depending on the tonight's game with the Oilers.
You have those hot takes, and then on Monday you had the Eagles, same old Eagles, season's over Eagles, finally faced adversity and couldn't win Eagles.
Even
Twitter.
Though they faced adversity almost all season, the problem is the Eagles, every time they played a team that's supposed to be better than them, they beat them. And the first time they played a team that has a lot of experience at playing number one in high situations, playoffs, and also won a Super Bowl a few years ago, they know what they're doing. Our team's still very young.
But it's the same Twitter reaction in both situations for both teams when one team is clearly in growing pains and the other team is like a Super Bowl contender.
Who just lost a game to
a game to another Super Bowl contender.
Or just the Eagles didn't play their best game versus a good team.
Carson Wentz fumbling
and they
the
still
didn't help.
They didn't play their best game versus a good team and some key turnovers. Of course the ref calls didn't help. But the Eagles were still in it until the last few minutes of the game. So that's the thing. Like, that's what got me so much. I know this is not an Eagles podcast, but if you like the Flyers, fuck you, listen to us for another minute.
So like after seeing that
bothered me.
Yeah, after seeing that on Monday, I was like, you know what? Gonna take a step back. Take a step back from Twitter for a little bit. Maybe just don't look at the timeline so much. So it's gonna be hard getting tweets of the week, I guess. But just gonna take a little time. Let this kind of balance out.
So the Flyers are only about 8 points out of the second to last spot in the Metro, which is being held currently. Carolina is now in our division. I keep thinking old school.
Yeah.
We were only 2 points out of the last spot. We're 8 points out of the last wild card spot, which the Penguins currently hold. Washington and Pittsburgh are neck and neck right there with 33 points. But Washington has a game in hand. So we're still a bubble team. We're not that far off. If they string like three or four wins together, it's a much different picture. And I'm not saying like they can just do that and coast. They have to actually put together some wins.
There's still like 55 games left.
They can win like three games in a row, then lose one. Win one, lose one. Like they can get in this. You see, this happens in an 82-game season. You got to put some wins together, but you just got to keep this long losing streak they had, the 0-5-5. That can't happen again.
No, and you got to not lose.
And know what? You don't want to play your best hockey now anyway. It's only December.
Yeah,
they had a rough November. Flush it. Let's get it back out there and do it again.
It's like what they say about baseball. Like as long as you win series, you can lose games.
Yes, of course you can.
Yeah, so the Flyers just have to make sure, like, losing streaks don't get above two. And realistically, to gain ground, they need to start having two-point games against division teams.
And they're also going to be against some division teams.
Which they're
going to
hit. Yeah, they're going to hit a division
patch of
games.
This month they're playing Columbus already.
Which is number one. That sucks.
Yeah, that's the only division team they're playing. But they're playing more Eastern teams, which helps with the wild card race.
Yeah.
And then next month they're hitting Pittsburgh. Once the new year hits, they're hitting Pittsburgh and the Islanders right off the bat. And they have the Rangers in January, the Devils. They also have the Capitals twice. So January is going to be a huge month.
Yeah, it's just shitty that they're losing streak.
There's no Olympic break, it looks like. I thought there was going to be one. Yeah, there's none.
I mean, it's not shitty that they hit their losing streak against Western Conference teams, because like them losing doesn't hurt them, but they left a bunch of free points on the table.
Yeah, especially in five games where they lost in an overtime or a shootout where they could have gotten two. Think about it, even if they got like, I don't know, three of those, that's three more points.
Yeah, and the Flyers are the pros of needing points when they don't have them.
Well, yeah, I guess you
back themselves
that.
Into corners when it comes down to the end of the season, and then they accidentally squeak into the playoffs when the Penguins are playing all their backups and set up unrealistic hopes and expectations for a hockey team.
Are you saying Flyers fans are very realistic usually? Because if I'm reading between the lines of what you're saying,
listen, there's nothing wrong with wanting to win, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to play or have everybody you want play, but be realistic about your demands. Like, yeah, the Flyers could have called up Sam Morin, but he cannot stop getting hurt.
Do you guys realize how much the Packers fans wanted Aaron Rodgers to step in for those years in Green Bay?
Yeah.
And then it took a while to come around.
So they're getting there.
Or Brandon Graham from the Eagles. He finally flourished the last 2 years after being like a rotating player.
We're getting there. We keep saying it took the Kings like 5 to 6 years to become a Stanley Cup contender, and the Flyers are only on year four. So they got time. They're going to clear out some contracts. They'll bring up the young guys in time. You just got to be patient. But now everybody's tired of being patient, and Hextall's a no-talent hack asshole. So there's that. You know.
So you're looking forward to tonight's game. Manning and Neuwirth have been placed on IR.
Which,
so Alex Lyon,
impressive that Neuwirth managed to hurt himself not even playing.
Yeah, how'd that happen?
I don't know, but that's what... What an awful, that's a Hextall signing where you got to go, oh, what?
But even though this is, you guys will listen to this afterwards, Edmonton had breathed a sigh of relief this morning realizing that Brandon Manning would be playing versus Connor McDavid.
That's
again.
True.
Well, he was scratched for a game against them previously this year.
Which our pal Mike Bond said that Edmonton is kind of in the same place that the Flyers are, where like they should be winning games but aren't. And I want to say their penalties for and against are worse than the Flyers. Like in terms of called for and called against.
Okay, I don't have that stat in front of me, but I'm going to
Yeah, and we were talking about it on Twitter because I was saying that like the Calgary game might have been the first game all season where like puck luck really went the Flyers' way, and like they got a high stick penalty against the Flames where it was McDonald's stick hitting, I think Voracek or someone in the face. So like that was a bonus, and then like not that Weiss deserved to get hit in the face with Travis Hamonic's elbow. But they got a match penalty on that, and it wasn't good as picking up one. So, like, it was one of the first times all season where, like, the referees made mistakes in the Flyers' advantage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Edmonton Oilers right now, as before this game, so it could be different. Hopefully they're 11-15-2. Right now they're 11-14-2, good for 24 points. The Flyers are 9-11-7, good for 25 points. The goal differential for Edmonton, minus 14. The Flyers, minus 8. And in the last 10, Edmonton is 5-5-0. The Flyers are, oh boy, they're 1-4-5.
Right. So this is troubling for Flyers fans because they expect the Flyers to win all the time. But it's truly troubling for Edmonton fans because they had a pretty good playoff run last year.
Very good. Very exciting. I was rooting for them last year. Not because I'm Mike Bond over it. By the way, Mike Bond, for those new listeners, Scuttlepuck, great hockey podcast.
Next week you may hear a prepared statement.
Yes, we'll more on that in a little bit, but before we even get there, so TJ Brennan comes up to the team.
Yes, offensive defenseman TJ Brennan.
So him or Ault will be playing.
I would imagine they will play, well, Ault matches Manning's style of play more.
I think Ault will be in the lineup. I think Brennan will be.
But Brennan brings the offensive spark, so it depends who they want.
Most beats have Brennan being a healthy scratch tonight, just riding the bench and traveling with a big team. Same with Joey Laterra. Gudas is serving his 9 of 10 games.
Right, so Gudas will be back soon.
So the Flyers' week ahead, After this Edmonton game, which you guys have already watched, Vancouver is tonight, for those of you, at 10 o'clock. So another late-night Thursday game in Vancouver with the Flyers ending their Western Conference road trip. So Gudas will be back to play next Tuesday versus Toronto if he so is allowed by the coach and deems to be allowed to be back in the lineup. So we'll see how that goes. He might also serve a couple games in the press box. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know how to handle that. I mean, he already served 10 games, so it's enough time away. I imagine there might be a one-on-one meeting, if not with the coach, then with the GM, if it hasn't happened already. Wouldn't you think that'd probably be prudent?
Yeah, I don't know, though. The play that got him suspended, I don't know. It was definitely questionable. He came down hard on that chop, but was he off balance? I mean,
I don't think he meant to like slash him.
Yeah,
like I said, you still can't do it. Whatever. We're not here to defend it. Be like, oh, this guy's approaching. But yeah, listen, we are assholes. We're not those kind of assholes, okay? We are not those assholes.
We are not.
Not. Yeah, so that's what we're looking forward to tonight. So we have the game starting in about an hour for us. But so we mentioned this earlier. Mike Bond is our buddy at Scuttlepuck. We've done his show, Jeff and I, both individually. And we've had Mike Bond on here. We want to have him on again.
Yeah, yeah.
But he had some sort of commitment
prior
tonight.
Prior engagement.
We were hoping to have him.
Moose yodeling.
Yeah, I think that's what he was doing.
Big Brian Elliott.
Moose yodeling and letting terrorists in his country. So what?
Oh, geez.
Oh, there we go. Sorry.
Having universal health care.
Yeah, Trudeau, what an asshole. Sorry. You guys make fun of Trump. I don't care. You make fun of your fucking stupid leader, too. So if you listen to Mike Bond, Scuttlepuck, they have a great show. And what we're looking forward to is, since he couldn't come on, we're going to do this anyway. We are in the mood to do a little bet. So. Yeah. Nothing too crazy, because this is the last game we're playing the Oilers this year until we're both in the Stanley Cup Finals, obviously, because the Flyers and Konechny are destined to win the Cup this year. Depending on the outcome of this game, the winner of this game, so the Flyers win, Mike Bond and his crew will have to read a prepared statement written by yours truly, Jeff and Drew, and Doyle, if he wants to come and show up, on their show next week. If
some chance
the Oilers happen to win and they just do it like a rain dance around Manning's corpse because they bring him down from the press box and kill him, we will have to read a prepared statement on the air written by Mike Bond and his crew.
We're gonna
on to
say
our next week's show.
Sorry so much.
Joe, I'm saying, if you guys are listening to this and excited, that means the Flyers have won. And yes, we will have a doozy of a statement, which in turn will humiliate Mike Bond in a good way because we like the guy. And number two, it'll give him a chance to get some more listeners. You guys are like, oh, let's listen to Mike Bond and these assholes, what they have to read if they wrote. if not, you know, whatever, cool. We'll read his statement, and, you know, it's cool. So check out their show if you haven't. I can't talk about it enough. He's an awesome guy. One of those weird things, when you start this podcast a couple years ago, you meet, like we talked about meeting the Brickers, you met, like, other people from the show. It's just weird, like, just having, like, we're kind of like friends with this guy over in Canada that, like, I never even met and may never even meet. I would like to. But I never even we're just like, hey, he's a cool guy. We talk about hockey online, and we talk to him via Skype, and we don't use the camera because I don't want to send nudes.
But like what Mike was saying was like, I don't know if I want to take this bet. The Oilers are kind of in a rough patch right now, and we're like, we literally have lost 10 games in a row.
Listen here, jack off.
We're on a one game winning streak. We are not coming from a position of power.
But I think he's just worried because he knows we're gonna. I mean, he listens to our show. We are not known for always holding back, but it's fine.
Nah, it'll
be fun.
It'll be super polite.
No, his will.
Yeah.
His will tell us to fuck off.
Yeah.
Friend.
Fuck off. Kindly fuck off, please. Sorry.
That old fucking dumb hacky bit about Canada. So Jeff, new thing I want to do today. We'll try to see if we can keep this going. It would be nice if Doyle was here.
No, it wouldn't have.
Hey, you're right. It wouldn't have been nice.
The worst.
We've been very nice to each other.
We have.
I think it's because we just
he's
both,
the shitster.
We both beat the fuck out of each other before the podcast, so we're just happy.
Yeah, Doyle encourages.
Just bleeding out of my lip. Palm.
Doyle encourages the podcast hate.
He does. He's got a little dumb grimace on his face as he eats
stupid
Chipotle.
Stupid haircut.
Yeah.
That he gets every 2 weeks or whenever.
Yeah, always on a Wednesday when we do the show. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Mash, eh? Get a haircut around here, hey? Right.
Sorry, guys. I got to get my haircut.
I'm the top dog in town, man.
And get dinner so my blood sugar levels out.
So, Jeff, after this Flyers week, since we last spoke, not much has happened in the way of games, but from what you've seen these two games, what did you learn about this Flyers team? What did you learn about either the way they played, their attitude, their motivation, their ethic, their execution, maybe a certain player or a certain facet of their game, special teams, offense, defense?
I guess what I've learned is that I haven't learned anything.
You haven't learned
because
anything.
I expected them to come out hot against the Bruins, and they were like, whatever. And then against the Flames, they just decided to crush it. So, like, the games I expected them to play well in, they were so-so. And the game that I didn't have any expectations for and was just hoping that, you know, if they were going to lose, they would start losing earlier so I could go to sleep and not stay up until 12 o'clock.
But they did.
But they win. So, you know, I guess the only thing I know is that Brian Elliott's been playing pretty good for a guy who they kind of not really picked off the scrap heap, but didn't pay a lot of money for and didn't expect too much out of him.
Okay, good. I agree.
Yeah.
What I learned this week is it doesn't matter which line Jacob Voracek or Sean Couturier are on, even Giroux. He didn't have any points in that game, but he was a positive with a zero for his plus minus. But Couturier had 2 points, and Voracek had 3 assists.
Yeah.
In that game.
Just
to show you, splitting up the first line, not really that horrible move. Why? I'm sure they'll go with the same lineup tonight after winning it. Why go back to the original lineup?
Yeah, and I feel like if they were going to move somebody, I think the big part of the first line was G and Couturier.
Yeah, and Voracek played with Filppula a little bit last year.
Right.
So I think it works out. And Raffle with there. I mean, Raffle
Jake
actually.
Also
learned Raffle can still hit the fucking net. I've been dogging this guy for weeks for not hitting the net, and he had a great shot when Voracek set him up the other game.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I had to get it out of there.
No, basically, Voracek is quietly putting up points, but I feel like he's getting a lot of his points off assists. So as long as you just put him with somebody who can shoot,
he draws attention.
He can play, yeah.
The thing was, I mean, we talk about Jake losing the puck, and and I know I've been negative about him. I still like him, but he does draw attention. So people are looking for him. So guys like Raffle or Vatari Filppula can step up and do it.
I think he has, 30-some assists now?
He's got a lot.
Yeah.
I had the numbers in front of me earlier,
and
but
he's
I don't
also
anymore.
Cleanly shaven.
He shaved the damn beard.
Got rid of his beard. Twitter updates today from Billy Meltzer. And
I didn't catch that
writers.
Today. Thank you for telling me that.
Yeah, he looks ridiculous. Actually, it's because when was the last time you saw him without a beard on?
Probably since when Saigon fell.
Right.
That's a Cold War reference.
Thanks.
It's a Vietnam reference and a Cold War reference.
Thanks
it's
for
all
jamming.
About the same thing.
Thanks for jamming that shit in there.
Well. You and Max White both said that. Jake has actually 33. He has 33 points for the year, 26 assists.
Yeah, all right.
To clear it up.
Whatever.
So that's still pretty good, though.
Pretty decent for a guy who everybody's just angry that he's not scoring.
Yeah, he's...
I think he's leading the team in points, though, isn't he?
He's fourth. Yeah, but he's also fourth in the league in assists.
Yeah.
And you still have... Braden Schenn's also ninth in the league in points. Oh, boy.
Spoiler alert, you don't have to score a lot of goals to have a lot of points.
Kutz and G dropped out of the top 22 as far as points go. Voracek's still 10th in the league.
Well,
I mean, there's so many guys that are close together. It'll start to separate. Once comes around, it'll spread out.
I feel like a 10-game losing streak will do that to you.
Yeah, it definitely does.
So it certainly doesn't help stats.
But it doesn't really matter. I don't care about that shit. I just want the Flyers to win.
No, I was hoping young baby
Drew
Nolan...
Drew had plenty of great point seasons with the Flyers and do dick if they even made the playoffs.
I was hoping young baby Nolan would be in the running for rookie of the year, but that concussion kind of took him out of it right now.
Yeah.
And, Nico's actually scoring, so...
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Also, I had just talking about the Calgary game. I know it's only one win, but we should be a little happy, right? We had a voicemail this week to share. We had a couple like last week, but they didn't make the cut. One, I do preview most of them. This one right here, I think this guy kind of sums up how we all felt after the game. I want to wrap up our segment of the Flames game with this real quick. So, I don't know his name. I don't know what he is. I don't think he says it, but this was right after the game on Monday night.
So the Flyers just won, and what do I do with my hands?
Didn't sound very confident there what to do with his hands. So thank you, whoever you were. I think that was a good way to look at it because we haven't seen it in, a couple weeks.
Yeah. Well, you can't start a 10-game win streak without winning game one. So they're already over that mountain. Maybe a 2-game win streak.
You say a 2-game win streak, Jeff? That would be epic.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, speaking of things that happened the last week, Jeff, do you know what time it is?
What time is it?
It's time for...
Shibba-doo-bop-bop, Tweet of the Week, yeah!
That's right, everybody, it's time for Tweet of the Week. The time of the show where you, the listener, you, the Twitterer, you, the fan, or you, the person who has no idea who the hell we are or what we do every week, you tweet something we find cool, funny or make fun of Doyle's failing pancreas. That's why he's not here. So, Jeff, what's this week's Tweet of the Week?
Oh, my God. It's like we planned this, but we didn't. The Tweet of the Week is from Doyle.
Oh, my God. No way.
And he tweeted on Saturday, the percentage of my pancreas that works is higher than the Flyers' PK.
Oh, my God. Is that actually true?
Oh, my God. Yeah, he tweeted it. I mean
the percentages. I mean, the Flyers' penalty
kill. He's not one
to
lie, and he has diabetes, so I think that's positive.
He's not one to lie, but he is one not to show up. The penalty kill is at 76.28 this week, good for 27th, an improvement from 75.3 from 29th last week. So that's not good, Doyle.
No, it's not.
That explains why you're not here.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's good.
So
protesting the price of insulin.
Doyle's not here, but still here with us in spirit because he's dead. Thank you, Doyle, for this week's
Tweet of the Week. Yeah.
That was this week's Tweet of the Week, and thank you.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you see that the wheels are moving to get Seattle a hockey team?
Jordan Wheel? I thought he was with us for...
God damn it. No, they've made... Seattle has voted to make wide-sweeping changes to KeyBank Arena. Which is basically
is
going
that the
to
the Supersonics used to play?
I believe so, but don't quote me on that. But it's apparently
Everyone
going
quote
to
him on that.
It's apparently going to pave the way to NHL expansion.
What's the arena again?
KeyBank Arena.
KeyBank Arena?
Yeah.
Okay.
So apparently in the last go round, Seattle, Las Vegas, and Quebec City were the three front runners for the expansion, and Vegas was the only place that had like a suitable up to date arena ready to go. That was big enough. I think Quebec had one, but it was tiny. But don't quote me on that either. But now with Seattle having a fully revitalized stadium, now the chatter is the next expansion round is going to go to Seattle.
Okay. I'm sorry. I have KeyBank. You mean Key Arena?
Maybe.
Yeah. KeyBank Arena is the KeyBank Center is where Buffalo plays.
Yeah. All right.
That's what was kind of like. I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah. That's where the Seattle Supersonics were supposed to. They did play there apparently.
But I think, why wait for expansion? Why not just take, let's say there's a team that the NHL is dragging along that's slowly dying and they have to save every year. Let's say maybe a team in the desert.
Well, this is proposed from 2018 to 2020 to renovate it, so it might not be for a few years.
I know, but we could just move the Coyotes there.
That building was built in 19... It broke around 1960 and opened in 62. It's an old-ass stadium.
It is. Well, that's why this... I think that's... I don't know. The Supersonics left because the owners were Zildjian, right?
Oh, shit. Metallica's big live tour after Justice for All. Live Shit, Binge and Purge is one of their biggest concert DVDs. It was actually filmed there. I didn't know that.
Yeah, look at that.
So there you have it. Useless facts that appeal to me.
But basically, look for the Arizona Coyotes to relocate to Seattle. Why expand when you can just fix the problem you already have?
Well, I mean, Arizona, they've been keeping that team hemorrhaging money for a long time.
Oh, right, yeah, they're hemorrhaging money. They can't find a place to play. I feel like Arizona doesn't really want them there because they're in the middle of the desert. You move them to Seattle... Conference doesn't change. Time zones. Phoenix doesn't do daylight savings time, do they? Or time zones, or I think they do their own thing.
I don't even know. That's a freaking desert.
Whatever.
Dude.
Anyway.
Who cares?
The important part is one team stays in the West, one team stays in the Pacific. Nothing gets moved around. Balance-wise, the league stays even.
So have you actually read that Phoenix is rumored to go there? Or is this just your interpretation of it?
This is my interpretation.
Because I have not. Heard
no, it. I haven't heard anything about Phoenix move, but
I can't see them adding another team.
But Arizona's always in the oh my god, will they, won't they category. So, and the NHL is clearly like, we need to structure the CBA so players pay more for failing teams.
And you know what? There are a lot of hipsters in near Seattle,
it's true.
And there's hipsters
love
hockey, which is ugh.
Yeah,
did we just become best friends?
There'd be the scarf quotient would tick up exponentially.
Oh, my God. They're stupid Seattle.
Hockey scarves.
They're Seattle Coyotes. What do they call it? The Seattle heroin overdoses. What would they call it?
They would call it the seventh man. The crowd would, of course.
Come on. Too soon.
Yeah.
They've Chris Pratt come out there. If you need to put the pipe more sound to your stadium, have Chris Pratt there to get your crowd pumped up, you're not real fans.
Yeah, but he's Star-Lord.
With your dumb green little like dreadlock hats. Like, oh, they annoy me. I like Russell Wilson. I don't hate Pete Carroll, but they just annoy me.
Oh, Pete Carroll's the worst from his USC days.
I hate the way he chooses gun with his jaw dislocating every time he chews it. Like
Pete Carroll just seems like he's the hockey dad from Mighty Ducks. Like,
that
just seems like the kind of guy he is.
I'd rather have a girlfriend and have Richard Sherman fuck my girlfriend and go, yeah, Legion of Boom, motherfucker, in my face. And he rubs it in my face and holds a football in my face. Then watch Pete Carroll chew gum another second.
Pete Carroll reminds me of Lundberg from Office Space, like that. You know, which is like
that's not a bad call.
You're gonna want to tackle more.
I left USC because we had a big controversy. I'm gonna lose all my championships. Yeah, there's a team being built by Mike Holmgren already in Seattle. I'm just taking over. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, did he jump ship before USC went down?
Oh yeah, it was already it was in the works. He just jumped ship. Yeah, he did what he had to do. He knew the hell he's doing.
Reggie Bush made me so much money.
Jim Kelly and the Ducks weren't going to be that good for a couple of years, so we bailed ship, but then I was going to UCLA, UCLA.
Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush made me millions.
UCLA.
He looks like a top coach.
Yeah, he does. But also, wrapping up our week, we're going to do our Lauren Hart Waves of the Week, where we give the kudos to a Flyers player or staff member we thought deserved it. So, Jeff, your Lauren Hart Wave of the Week.
Well, this is a tough one, but I'm going to give it to Michael Neuwirth because he needs some feel-good stuff after hurting himself, not even playing a game.
I just want to give him some positive vibes out there. Positive vibes, man.
Just Neuwirth. He's having a pretty rough season. Somehow he managed to hurt his, I believe, leg.
His labia?
Yeah. I think Manning hurt his hand and Neuwirth hurt his leg.
Yeah.
So you get better, buddy.
Okay, cool. I'll go with that one, I guess. Good job, Neuwirth. My Lauren Hart Wave of the Week. I am going to give it to the Brickers for spending all of the third period drinking and listening to us for an extra time they normally have to with the podcast every week.
Yeah.
And an honorable mention to Dale Weiss for taking that hit to the head.
That Hamonic elbow.
Yeah, because I drafted Hamonic in our fantasy league.
Hey, he shook it off, though.
I caught him weeks and weeks ago.
He shook it off and came back.
He did. So, way to be in there, Weiss. We didn't wish that upon you. We don't hate you like most of the rest of Flyers Twitter does, and I bet you most of the fans don't even hate you. And guess what? Most of the casual fans have no idea who the hell you are.
That's true.
It's always better to not be in the news, right? No news is good news. Just ignore all the Twitter fans.
How can you be mad at Mr. Incredible?
And warm condolences to Shane Gossespierre, who allegedly deleted his Twitter account off his phone, or deleted his Twitter off his phone.
Yes, if you haven't read the new Players Tribune article that Shane Gossespierre didn't write, okay? Just John Bork wanted you to know that. He didn't write it. He's a ghostwriter. He just tells the guy what to write, and then the guy writes it.
A ghostwriter?
Yeah, so Ghost apparently said that he really loved Twitter in his rookie year, and then last season was kind of he just deleted it because he was tired of everybody
he
calling him
Twitter
a one-hit wonder.
On his phone, right?
I don't know. So he would only read the hot takes about himself on his laptop, I guess.
Yeah, he's still on Twitter. I don't see.
He basically just stopped following up on it after last year because he hit that little rough patch, and everybody called him a one-hit wonder and wanted to send him down or trade him. So,
well, he's having a holiday yappy hour, they're calling it, at the Punchline in Philly. It's an open bar December 15th, and all proceeds benefit the Pennsylvania SPCA. So him and his hot girl, I guess their dog's going to be there. Should we just go and, like, just crash the place?
Yeah, I mean, we should.
Open bar, dude.
Yeah.
It's Friday night. Not too bad.
So if you get a chance, read the Players Tribune article. It's pretty good. And then head on over to Twitter, find John Bork, and shit all over him for criticizing it.
Oh, he's getting a real bad lately. That Victoria's Secret thing, people weren't even mad about it.
John Bork is doing a really bad job of not making people angry.
I don't think during even post-game, I don't think he'd even do that too well because he just annoyed people with his tie choices and his inability to really ask real questions.
So last year it was his awful tie choices and his stupid opinions. And now it's his, everybody he interviews gets so mad at him because his questions suck.
Even, I think Hacksaw looked at him just like, what are you even saying?
Yeah.
I would love to see Bork interview a guy like Belichick, you know? Belichick would really just be like, that's a why, just
And
why.
Now, like, between Ghost is responsible for global warming, apparently he tweeted something about the Ghost Bear Foundation, and now he's just letting everybody know that Ghost didn't really write this Players Tribune article. Like, everybody's just like, what is your problem with Shane Gossespierre? Like, why don't you like him? And then everybody just called him a bad dad and said that he stinks.
Well, when in doubt, call someone a bad dad. It'll always ruin their day. That's fine. Anything else for this week, Jeff?
I think we
done did it without Doyle this week.
Next week, you may either you're going to hear the triumphant soundbite of Mike Bond reading our statement or the sad and somber voices of two guys trying to fake a Canadian accent.
And try and kiss Joe at the same time.
Yeah, of course.
French kiss for Canada.
Ooh, and rub our bodies in maple syrup and then stick together.
Would you French me?
Like two pancakes.
Would you French me?
Just flapjacks.
Would you French me?
I don't know. It depends. What's on the line?
French me. French me. French me. All right.
I got to be getting something out of it. I'm just not going to French you for nothing.
I have really good lips, I've been told.
Well, that doesn't make me uncomfortable. I don't know what will, because it's just us up here.
Yeah, don't even Doyle to break the silence. All right, guys. Jeff and I have some work to do. Thank you guys for listening. As always, like and subscribe everywhere you go. And keep interacting with us on Twitter. Keep it up. Keep it the positivity, because the Eagles and Flyers, you know, they're both doing about – actually, the Eagles doing better than I expected.
Yeah, but it's just tough because both their seasons are over.
Don't want the Debbie Downers get to you. Stay gold, Pony Boy. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next week. And no Fogelberg this week. We'll get you next week.
Thank goodness.
Oh, wait. Here it is. I'm just kidding.
No, did you – I texted you guys this. A nice little closing story. At work, Fogelberg came on the radio, and I was just like, ugh, turn this shit off. And they're like, why do you –
wait, how did he come on the radio? He's dead. Necrophilia.
They were like, why do you hate this song so much? And then I had to explain it to everybody. And I just really hate that song.
Are you sure?
God damn it. I was like, this is the part where where the snow turns to rain. Just listen up, guys.
That's always the best part.
Ugh, this dreck. Wish Doyle was here to go, I hate this.
The snow turned into rain.
And that's where we leave you, people. Remember, this is episode 119. We thank you for listening, as always. And keep it classy, Philadelphia.
This has been the Broad Street Bully Podcast with your hosts, Drew Papsky and Jeff DeAngelis.
And Doyle.
Available on iTunes, Stitcher, and BroadStreetBully.net. Follow the show on Twitter @ the BSB Podcast.